Well, staying on the subject, today the leaders of the EU have converged for an economic summit in Brussels. Now, not only is their currency falling, but the debt crisis in Greece said to be only the beginning of what's yet to come. Spain, Portugal, and Italy, they're saying, might follow. And many think that the star of the EU is falling. And when smaller economies start dragging down larger ones, a battle to regain sovereignty might take place. But how might an EU in economic disarray affect America? We're here to join me. I have Anthony Randazzo from Reason Magazine. Anthony, thanks for being here. First of all, are you one of these people that is being very harsh because of the situation and thinking that this might actually lead to the downfall of the EU and their economic system?
Well, I mean, given the news that came out today, that the EU is probably going to stand behind Greece and Portugal and Spain, it's probably not going to be the downfall of the EU. But I think it is long-term going to make the EU think very seriously about the way that it operates, and it may actually force some serious changes down the road.
I mean, how could it not force them to think about it seriously, especially if Portugal and Spain and Italy do follow? You know, what would they have done if they hadn't decided to help Greece out?
Well, if Greece wasn't helped out, one of two things happens. Either it goes into default, which is terrible, 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 or it tries to somehow cut its spending over the next 3 years, but that would mean cutting its debt to GDP ratio by like from 13% down to 3% over 3 years. It just seems astronomically hard, so more than likely they're going to default. They default, that throws the entire European Monetary Union into disarray. The euro could go down. I really just don't foresee, particularly a nation like Germany, ever letting that happen. As much as Germany doesn't ever want to stand out as like, we're going to be the country that's always going to bail out countries, because that just creates moral hazard. Germany doesn't want to do that, but they also don't want to see the euro go down, because that just takes everybody in the European Union down with them. So I think ultimately, at this point, the way to look at the European Union, it's a lot like Wall Street is set up right now. One bank is just not going to let all collective banks are not going to let one bank tank the rest of them down.
Well, I'm happy you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you, you know, how we can compare this to what's going on in America, where essentially they have one central bank for the EU, but although there wasn't one central bank, there is one central area known as Wall Street that essentially was controlling monetary policy for the U.S. How can we compare the two?
Well, it's the comparison, I think, to begin with, you've got the European Central Bank, but every country does still have their own central bank, and they still have national banks. The best comparison is the way Wall Street's set up. Some people are comparing this to like the United States as a whole with different states. I don't think that's a good comparison, because I mean, there's talks about California going bankrupt. If California goes bankrupt, that's bad. It's bad for the United States, bad for California economy, et cetera, et cetera. It has incredible ramifications long-term for lending to states, but it doesn't impact, say, New Hampshire, the way that a Greece going bankrupt, a Greece defaulting, might impact Germany or France. So looking at the way Wall Street is set up right now, all the rules that are put in place, essentially the fact that the top 18 banks are too big to fail, it's very, very comparable to what we see in Europe. But we do need to remember, this is what Europe wanted, really, in the first place when they put this together. They wanted to integrate their economies. Before we even had the current EU system, they wanted, after World War II, to tie these economies together so that they would be dependent on one another. So they kind of walked themselves into it. So maybe they really do. Maybe this really wasn't the best situation in the first place. I don't think that they gave economic sovereignty. They didn't consider the importance of it enough when going into the situation.
And now, is that becoming more clear? Do you think this is becoming an example for the rest of the world as well?
Absolutely. I think here's why it's important right now. So you get the G7, the G8 had its meetings last week for whatever purpose they're going to have those meetings, which we talked about.
Yeah, just to see the Eskimos, perhaps dog sled a little
bit. Let's go up to the Arctic. So they have those, the G20's meeting. When the G20 gets together again, they're going to talk about, okay, we need to have this consensus on international rules. Here's the problem with consensus. Well, first, there's some benefit to consensus, because you don't want to have vastly different monetary and regulatory systems for international corporations. That just is huge headaches, it's barriers to entry. You need to have some consensus. But too much consensus, too much being tied together, you get this situation right here. and you don't have competition. So the United States, we'll just as an example, because we're here in the U.S., the United States needs to have some sort of international consensus, but it needs to be aware that it's competing against these other countries. It's competing against the European Union. So if you have too much consensus on these international rules, you eliminate all these opportunities for the United States to, say, attract certain companies to it. Say, we've got better rules, less strict rules, come to our shores, we'll take the tax money, we'll take the revenues, etc. In Europe, maybe they need to think a little bit more about how they can use competition between the different countries there economically. Have some, you know, you're not going to get rid of the EU as a whole. Have some sense of competition between the countries and not have them be dependent on one another in the current situation that they have now.
But let's talk about this also. If the euro does continue to fall, essentially, could that be a good thing for the U.S.? Could that be a good thing for the dollar?
I think the euro having troubles isn't bad for the dollar. We'll say it that way. And it's certainly, this situation certainly is good for the dollar in one sense, because countries like, say, Saudi Arabia are going to think twice now about abandoning the dollars the way they're marking oil and start trading in euros. This whole situation, just the fact that it happened, even if nothing really, really terrible does happen at Greece, the simple fact that this happened, it shows how fragile the euro really is, and that's going to be good for the dollar, broadly speaking, because you're going to have less people dumping the dollar, or say to China, to go to the euro because they realize, oh, that's just as fragile of a currency.
Great. Anthony, thank you for joining me. I do think it's very interesting that with the EU in economic disarray, it seems like perhaps this might give the dollar another chance and might give the U.S. another chance, and people will start believing in the U.S. economic policy once again.